You're listening to English Through Stories, Missing Person, Episode 4, Meeting at the Cafe. This is Episode 4 of Missing Persons from English Through Stories. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, from the Center for Educational Development in Los Angeles, California. In our previous episode, Dr. Reeves and his student, Anne Prado, were in the bathroom of Anne's sister, Sarah. Anne's sister, Sarah, and her brother-in-law, Bill, are missing. It turns out that the noise they heard in the bathroom was just a little cat. So they looked around the apartment, tried to find something that would tell them what happened to Bill. Dr. Reeves noticed that there were some pills on the table next to their bed in the master bedroom. Apparently, those pills, according to Anne, were for Bill's leg. Bill had hurt his leg playing football in college. Dr. Reeves tells Anne that they should go to the police, but Anne says no, the police won't help. Then, at the end, we hear a telephone call to Anne. Anne's face is very sad, and she says something terrible has happened. Now, Episode 4, Meeting at the Cafe. "We have to go, Dr. Reeves," Anne said excitedly. That was Bill on the phone. He's at a restaurant called Cafe Pico. Sarah's been kidnapped. "Kidnapped? Are you sure?" I asked, somewhat incredulously. "I'm sure. Someone has taken Sarah," Anne replied. "Bill said that a man is holding her, and he would kill her if we don't give him the ransom he's demanding." Anne was pulling me to the door of the apartment. "Come on. Bill said he will explain at the restaurant." I closed the door to the apartment and followed Anne down the stairs and into my car. The weather was typical for Los Angeles. Sunny, 75 degrees, with brown smog covering the city. L.A. is a city of dreams, but for some people, it's a city of nightmares. Anne and I drove down Robertson Boulevard in my old red Mustang, going around cars as fast as we could without causing a pileup. "Where is this cafe again?" I asked her. "On Robertson in Pico, next to a bookstore," Anne answered. She was justifiably nervous. You could tell it in her eyes. Arriving a few minutes later, we found a place to park in front of the bookstore and walked into the cafe. Bill was there waiting for us. "Bill! Oh my God, Bill! What happened?" Anne hugged Bill, who looked tired and worried. "Oh, this is my friend, Dr. Darren Reeves," Anne said. "Dr. Reeves, this is Bill. Dr. Reeves is my professor at USC, but he's also a very good detective. When I found out that you and Sarah were missing, I went to him for help." "It's good to meet you, Bill," I said. Yeah, I'm glad to meet you too," Bill said. Bill, Anne, and I sat down at a table in front of the cafe. The waitress came to take our order. I asked for a glass of iced tea. I'm a bit of a caffeine addict, truth be told. "Bill, tell us what happened to Sarah. Is she okay?" Anne asked impatiently. "Sarah is fine for now," Bill said. "But for a while, I thought both of us would be killed. 2 days ago, a strange man knocked on our door at the apartment. I opened the door, and before I knew what was happening, he had a gun in my face and was shouting obscenities at me." "What did he look like?" I asked. He was tall and muscular, said Bill, but he wore a ski hat, so I couldn't see his face very well. He had a mustache, I think. It all happened so fast. That's okay. Go on, I said. Well, the man took Sarah and me and put us in a car. He put a small towel around our eyes, tied our legs and hands together, and then drove us to another place. We were forced out of the car and into a small, dingy room. We were given food twice a day. I'm not sure how many kidnappers there were holding us there. I heard several voices outside the door, maybe three or four, I'm not sure. Finally this morning, about an hour ago, I was let go and given a message. If I wanted Sarah to be set free, I had to pay a ransom of $500,000. Our episode begins with Anne trying to get Dr. Reeves out of the apartment as soon as possible in order to meet Bill at a cafe. Bill had called Anne and told her to come to a cafe to meet her. Anne says to Dr. Reeves, "That was Bill on the phone." The expression, "that was a name on the phone," means that is the person who had called or who had just called. Bill told Anne that Sarah had been kidnapped. To kidnap someone, K-I-D-N-A-P, means that you take the person, you don't kill them, but you ask for money in order for the person to be returned. Dr. Reeves says, "Are you sure?" somewhat incredulously. To be incredulous is to doubt what another person is saying, to think that what someone else is saying is probably not true. And the adverb, incredulously, is how he asked the question, with some doubt. Anne assured Dr. Reeves that this was true. He told her that Bill had said that a man would kill her sister Sarah if he didn't give him the ransom he's demanding. Ransom, R-A-N-S-O-M, is the word we give to the money you would give to someone who is a kidnapper, who kidnaps. The money that you pay is called the ransom. And usually we use the verb to demand. To demand means to say you must do this. It's like an order. You demand a ransom. Ransom is a noun, of course, for standing for the money. Anne says to Dr. Reeves, "Come on." That expression, "come on," in this case means hurry up, follow me, come with me. Sometimes we use that expression when we don't believe something. Someone tells us something that we don't think is true, and we say, "Oh, come on." That means that can't be true. I don't believe you. Something you would say with a family member or a friend. As they're walking outside, going to Dr. Reeves' car, Dr. Reeves says that it's a typical day in Los Angeles, sunny, 75 degrees, with brown smog covering the city. Smog is a word that comes from smoke and fog, and it generally means pollution, which is why it's brown. And this smog covers the city, meaning it's all over the city. He mentioned that LA is the city of dreams, and for some people, it's the city of nightmares or a bad dream. Anne and Dr. Reeves drive quickly down Robertson Avenue, which is a big street here in Los Angeles, and they try not to cause a pileup. A pileup, two words, P-I-L-E-U-P, hyphen U-P, is a bunch of cars that get into an accident. So we say there's a pileup on the freeway. We mean that 3, 4, maybe 10 cars are involved in a single accident. Dr. Reeves says that Anne looked justifiably nervous. Justifiably is another adverb The adjective justifiable means that it makes sense, that there is a good reason for something to happen. To justify as the verb means to give an explanation or to give a reason. So justifiably as an adverb means that it makes sense, that there is good reason for her to be nervous. Dr. Reeves says that you can tell it in her eyes. This case, to tell it means you can notice it. You know that it's true. You can discover it by looking at her eyes. Dr. Reeves and Anne arrive at the cafe, and Anne introduces Dr. Reeves to Bill. And Bill says, or rather Dr. Reeves says, "It's good to meet you," which is a common expression you would use when you're first meeting someone. "It's good to meet you," or "It's nice to meet you." Bill responds by saying, "I'm glad to meet you." Again, same thing. They sit down. The waitress comes to take their order, meaning what they're going to drink or eat. And Dr. Reeves orders a glass of iced tea. And then he says, "I'm a bit of a caffeine addict, truth be told." First of all, caffeine is what comes in tea and coffee, usually. It's sort of a drug that makes you more awake, sometimes a little more nervous. A addict, A-D-D-I-C-T, is someone who literally is addicted, would be the verb. And to be addicted means that you need this drug, like people become addicted on heroin or cocaine. Well, Dr. Reeves isn't literally or actually addicted to caffeine, but he uses that term, addict, for a person who acts as though they were addicted in this case. He uses the expression also, truth be told. It's somewhat of an older expression when you say, "Well, truth be told, I don't really want to go to the movie." It means to be very honest. And usually when you're being more honest than you normally are with someone. Anne asks Bill what happened to Sarah, and she asks this question impatiently. Another adverb, to be impatient, means, of course, that you can't wait, that you want to find out right away or do something right away. And impatiently, as the adverb, is how she asked this question. Well, Bill says that a strange man had come to their door, and Bill opened up the door, and before he knew what was happening, meaning before he could figure out what was going on, this man put a gun in his face, meaning he held the gun up to his face, and was shouting obscenities at him. Obscenities is a vulgar or a bad word, a swear word, something that you would not say to someone that you liked. An obscenity is something that you would say to someone that you don't like, and it's a vulgar expression. Dr. Reeves asked Bill what this man looked like, and Bill answers he was tall and muscular. To be muscular comes from the word muscle. It means someone who has a lot of muscles. I'm not particularly muscular, for example. Bill said that the man was wearing a ski hat, and you'll remember that a ski hat is a hat that covers your whole face so you can't see, used by people to keep warm when they ski. He said that he thought the man had a mustache, but it happened so fast. It all happened so fast. That expression, "it all happened so fast," means something took place and you didn't really have a chance to notice or to figure out what was going on. Now, Bill explains that these kidnappers took him and Sarah and put them in a car. They tied up their legs and hands. They put a small towel around their eyes. And when you put something around your eyes like that, we call that a blindfold. All one word, blind, just like you can't see. A blindfold is when you put something over someone's eye. They then drove them to another place and put them into a small, dingy room. The adjective dingy, D-I-N-G-Y, means very dark, not very much light, not a very nice place. Finally, Bill explains that this morning the kidnappers had let him go, meaning they let him leave, and told him that if he wanted Sarah to be free, he'd have to pay a ransom of $500,000. That is episode 4 of Missing Person. On the next episode, we'll learn more about the ransom demand made by the kidnappers. Be sure to listen to our daily podcast, English as a Second Language Podcast, at ESLPOD.com, or just go to our website for this podcast, EnglishThroughStories.com, for more information. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Dr. Jeff McQuillan. We'll see you next time on English Through Stories. English Through Stories is a production of the Center for Educational Development in Los Angeles, California. This program may not be resold or redistributed without the express written permission of the Center for Educational Development.